Hi, we're Steve and Cindy Wright with Marriage Missions International, and this is our Marriage Insight podcast. This time, we're going to be sharing with you something that Cindy and I have been growing into personally, and it is enjoying the Sabbath in your married life. Do you and your spouse find time each week to rest, to take a Sabbath together? Do you make it a point to set aside one day of your busy schedule, your week, just to stop and chill out? Well, we really hope you'll listen to this podcast in its entirety because Cindy and I believe the principles we're about to share are so important.
Now, if we were asked these questions several years back, we would have had to say no. We would have said we're too busy, and we truly believed we were, and we were. We were. You can set me in a corner, and I can find something to be busy about. There's always something to do.
Amen.
And especially being in full-time ministry, along with raising a family and all these other additional demands. We taught Sunday school classes, on and on and on. And it's all brought all kinds of demands on our time. And maybe you can relate too. But we have since changed our ways on this. We're still busy. I think we will be until our last breath. Mm-hmm. But we do take a Sabbath to rest and enjoy God within the peacefulness of what he's asked of us. And we're still learning to do this. This is not, ta-da, we've arrived, that we know how to do this right. We're still learning how to do this. And why? First off, we're learning how to do this because God commands it in the fourth of his Ten Commandments. God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall not do any work.
Well, if even God rested on the seventh day after he spent 6 days creating the world, you can't get much busier than that.
So true.
And he found time to rest. In fact, we know, everybody who knows the Bible knows that Genesis 2:2 says that on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done and rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And God gave us a perfect example of what he wants us to do on the Sabbath. So this resting thing is pretty important to him, thus it should be really important to us. It is a holy principle after all. Now concerning this matter, pastor author Robert Morris gives us a little additional insight. He says this, the Hebrew word, the root word for Sabbath, is Shabbat, which literally means to cease. Shabbat is to stop, to quit. So the statement that God ceased from his works literally means God Shabbated. Keep that in mind.
That is not easy to say. And you know what? It's not easy
to
do either.
No.
But we should. Why is it that we put importance on keeping God's other 9 commandments, such as do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery, on, and yet we rush right past that one. And we did for many, many years, mm-hmm. didn't even give it the importance that it needed to. And, you know, honestly, I don't know very many Christ followers that do give it the importance that it needs. There's a few that do, but not too many.
And that's why we're sharing this insight with you this time, because we feel it is so important that we wanted to pass this on to you, because we think that you need to do it too.
Yes.
We believe. No, we don't think. We believe you need to do it too.
We just thought we were too busy. And by the world standards, we were. But God wouldn't have asked it of us if he not only asked it of us, told us to do this, if he didn't think it was important. And as Christ followers, we're to please God above everyone and everything else. And you might sit back and go, but I can't. You know, I've got this child crying and this, that. You know what I found is that if I ask God, how can I do this thing? I know you tell me to have a Sabbath rest. How can I do this thing? Well, it might look different in earlier years than it is in later because the different seasons of life gives us different things. But if you ask God, he's going to show you how to have pockets of rest here and there and how to do this the best that you can in your circumstance. So we didn't give the principle of the Sabbath the importance we should have, but we know now that we should. So in recent years, we've been making a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
We know this pleases God. Plus, we're physically and mentally stronger as a result. God gives us these things to do, and he's got a lot of different reasons why that we may not always understand. Also, our marriage is all the more stronger for it, which is another good reason for us to honor the Sabbath. We feel closer to God and to each other when we do things God's way. And God wants us to have strong marriages. We want you to have strong marriages. We want to have a strong marriage. And that's what we're supposed to do. I like what Linda Dillo and Lorraine Pintus said. They said, God asks us to take a Sabbath rest. Our bodies were made for a day of rest once a week. We encourage you to work and do your activities with your kids for 6 days, but then take 1 day off. There is to be no work, no shopping, no running to sports activities. Instead, set aside the entire day to worship God. Also, take naps, rest, and play together. This is a part of the intimacy that we're supposed to have. Intimacy, finding rest in each other, lying in each other's arms, and enjoying the closeness without the stress of life.
Also, keep in mind that if God had to rest on the seventh day, how can we skip over a Sabbath and not rest? Take a moment to review your week, crazy busy no doubt, especially if you have children. And if the creator of the universe, who not only designed the world but brought it to life, and took time to rest, how much more should the Sabbath be part of our week? We need to be refreshed in our marriages. Otherwise, we turn into stale bread, hard and stinky. Refreshment in your marriage needs to happen weekly. And that's a thought from Selena Frederick. So we want to encourage you to do what Cindy and I are learning to do. Author Nancy Sleeth gives this suggestion. She says to block off Sabbath time on your calendar. Here's a simple truth, and I think you will agree with us. It won't happen unless you schedule it. For most people, Sabbath is celebrated on Sunday. Now, for church leaders, hospital workers, and people who provide emergency services, Sabbath might have to be moved to another day of the week. But because of ministry, and she's saying our ministry requires frequent travel, I use a calendar to schedule our Sabbaths at least 4 months in advance. This lets our staff know when we will be offline and allows them to plan accordingly. And I can remember years ago when I was managing Christian radio stations, if I had to schedule one of my employees to work on the weekend, I would give them a day off during the week because I believed it was important for them to have a day of rest.
Well, additionally, Nancy gives this perspective. She said, we both have workaholic tendencies. We both love our work. And boy, can I relate to that. She says, this is a dangerous combination. Yet no matter what deadlines are looming, my husband and I do not work on the Sabbath. When one of us begins to talk shop, we gently remind each other to give it a rest. And there are different times when Steve has come to me and he said, Cindy, you've got to give it a rest. And, you know, I can have all kinds of excuses in my mind as to why not, you know, but this person and that and this and that. But then it comes down to, I know in my heart that that's the thing that I should be doing. Those are great tips that she gave, and we can especially relate to what she wrote. It is difficult, though, to give it a rest when we see so much vying for our attention. But we also realize, and I have to say, especially me, I realize I could work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and still not get everything done. That's just the nature of it. Ministry work can especially pull us into working more hours and more days than we should. Our great example is Jesus Christ. I mean, you've got to know that people were after him all the time, but he did pull away. And he would have the same things talking in his head, too, like we do. But if I don't answer this, but if I don't do that, but if I don't do this, it might hurt somebody spiritually. It might not, you know, or maybe it could hurt them physically or that. But he found ways to do it, and so should we. I have to say I'm guilty, absolutely guilty. Somehow we can feel that we're justified in working more and longer than we should in ministering to others or meeting the needs of others, especially when you have children. But one of the things I've also learned with children is just because they cry and yell and they have a wonderful way of making it seem like it's an emergency, it doesn't mean that it needs to be tended to. Is all of this in ministering to others, is this truly what God is asking for us to just keep going and going and going? No. Instead, he tells us to take a rest on the Sabbath.
Yeah, it is true what Eugene Peterson wrote some time ago. He said, if we don't regularly quit for one day a week, we take ourselves far too seriously. Amen. The moral sweat pouring off our brow blinds us to the primal action of God in and around us. And there's an abundance of research out there that proves that if we don't take regular rest from our work, we're going to burn out. It can cause us to become physically, emotionally, and even spiritually unhealthy. Yes, it says we can become spiritually unhealthy when we take ourselves and our work so seriously that we keep going and going and going. It's a matter of weak faith.
And you don't think about it being a matter of weak faith, but it really is.
Yeah, we think that we have more faith if we push ourselves through mm-hmm. these things and just keep going and going and going. It proves to God, mm-hmm. see how faithful we are, God?
We're faithful and we just keep going at it, but we're not trusting God.
Mm. Now, do we think that we're so important to the workings of the world that God can't help us to get the most important things done? Do we think our work is more important than keeping his commands? Uh-uh, we shouldn't. If we do, could we maybe call our impulse to work and keep working an addiction? That's the conclusion that Cindy and I had to come to.
You know, this was a hard one for us. We realized that we were addicted to our ministry work, that we could just, again, we could just keep pouring ourselves into it. And that doesn't mean that there aren't seasons where you have to do that because of a certain circumstance. And that doesn't mean that some people aren't called to do that. But when we are doing that to the point where we do not take a Sabbath when God tells us to take a Sabbath, that's a problem. It was, our work was always calling us, always drawing us to work longer hours than we should, and that is absolutely unhealthy. We had to learn to take a break. We had to learn to break this draw to keep working and do what God tells us to. We had to make sure that we took a Sabbath, and you need to also.
Pastor Robert Morris gives insight into the Sabbath when he wrote this. He says, it is going to take some time to break your addiction to busyness, to become comfortable with the slow, still environment that leads to renewal. And that was true for Cindy and me, too. The first few times we really were intentional about keeping the Sabbath, we kind of felt a little itchy inside, like, I know we should be doing something else. I know we should be doing something else. And God kept whispering, no, you're doing exactly what I want mm-hmm. you to do, rest. Mm-hmm. But he goes on to say, on the contrary, your strategy for enjoying and benefiting from this day begins with understanding that you need to refill all four of your tanks. I found this extremely interesting when I read this the first time. There's four tanks that we have. We have the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. And he went on to say, I personally find that a funny movie or some good escapist fiction reading refills my mental tank, but I don't spend my entire day in front of the TV or with my nose in a book. I know I have four tanks that all need some attention. Then he went on to say, for example, I know that time with Debbie and my children and now my grandchildren restores and renews me emotionally. And for my physical tank, a leisurely walk in the outdoors, weather permitting, carries remarkable power to refresh and renew. And he says, notice I didn't say 40 hard minutes on a stair climber or a treadmill. There's nothing wrong with vigorous exercise or having vigorous fitness goals. But your Sabbath is not a time for advancing your personal goals. Achievement is for the other 6 days of the week. And this day is all about enjoyment, delight, and renewal.
isn't that nice to think about? It is so nice. God is so wise.
Concerning this matter, we appreciate the advice that Charles Spurgeon gave to his students a long time ago who were studying to be preachers. He said this, "Even beasts of burden must be turned out to grass occasionally. The very sea pauses at ebb and flood. Earth keeps the Sabbath of the wintry months, and man, even when exalted to God's ambassador, being a pastor, must rest or faint, must trim his lamp or let it burn low, and must recruit his vigor or grow prematurely old. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less."
That seems so contrary, but it's so true. With that in mind, here's a couple of suggestions for successful Sabbath making. There are so many we could give you, but we're just giving you a few. We hope that you'll come to the website and maybe you'll put some of yours on that would help others too when they come across this. He says, "Remember that worship is an integral part of the day of rest. Without question, worshiping in a local church is necessary on the Sabbath and can continue at home after church service. Fill your home with soothing sounds of hymns or praise music that exalts the Lord God Almighty and turns your heart toward Him."
Dennis went on to say that without becoming legalistic, continue to discuss and refine together the ways you experience Sabbath rest. Some of the most stimulating discussions that Barbara and I have had concern the activities that encourage Sabbath rest. To what extent will we try to protect our lives, marriage, and family from the world on this special day? Be purposeful about your day of rest together. Make it a spiritual discipline. And Cindy and I have been having some real interesting discussions about this recently, and that's why we came to the conclusion that we needed to do this marriage insight on this topic, because we have just believed that far too many people who get our marriage insight are probably in the same place we were not that long ago. We just didn't feel we had the time to observe the Sabbath.
And also we didn't make our marriage a real goal as far as Sabbath rest. It's not just your time with God. So it's important for us to build our marriage too.
Mm-hmm. Are you being spiritually purposeful? And this is the $64,000 question now. Here we come. Are you being spiritually purposeful about your day? Do you set one day out of the seven that God gives to you to take Sabbath rest? And do you pull together as a couple to rest and enjoy each other? And what about your relationship with God? Do you take a Sabbath day to worship and enjoy the day restfully together? It just could be that you and your spouse approach this issue in different ways. Or it could be that you didn't really give the importance of having a Sabbath much thought. Now, perhaps you should talk about this together. Find ways to marry your differences so they work for your marriage. We have, and we're still talking about this.
We're still marrying our ways.
We sure are, even after 49 years. And we realize that God commands that we take a Sabbath.
God wants us to restfully commune with Him and with each other. The purpose is not to stress us, but to rest us.
Amen.
Again, I'm going to say that. The purpose is not to stress us, but to rest us. We need to take Sabbath rest. So we prepare for the Sabbath starting on Saturday. We put our clothes out the night before to wear to church. When our kids were growing up, I made sure their clothes were out and ready and everything. Just trying to get a little bit less of the work out of Sunday. Our Sunday meal consists of something simple. Maybe it's leftovers, something yummy but simple. We go to church. We lean together into the worship experience. Sunday is a time when we lean into the Lord, worship. It's not a day when we tackle any project or negative emotional issue. We tackle those on other days. And we know of different people that say, "Oh, we're both believers, but we argue all the day and all the time. We argue 7 days a week." And it's like, oh my gosh, do not argue on Sunday. This is supposed to be a day of rest. Can you take a break from arguing? We hope you'll take a break during the week too. But this is not a day. If one or the other of you is starting to get on one of those subjects, you just say, you know, Sabbath, this is a day when we're supposed to lean into God and lean into each other. You might, again, have to talk about this. It's really important that you talk about this and you get to the place where you do take a Sabbath. Zena Carter adds to this point. She said, I used to expect our entire weekend to be devoted to house projects. My husband used to expect the entire weekend to be devoted to relaxing, and that doesn't happen anymore. It's not that he doesn't get relaxing, it's that they don't have different expectations. They've developed healthier expectations for the days. So through Sabbath, she says, we've implemented clear boundaries on our time, 6 days on and 1 day off. Sabbath pulls us both into the middle of the spectrum toward balance and health. Remember Jesus' words in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Jesus rescues us with his life, death, and resurrection. And he gives us new eyes to see that Sabbath isn't obsolete or burdensome. Sabbath is a life-giving delight.
So how do you view your Sabbath? Do you view it in a life-giving, delightful way? Do you look forward to breaking away from the work to be able to rest together? Now, we didn't do that very often earlier in our marriage, and that's because we didn't realize that we could or we should. But we do now, and it's been great for both Cindy and me. We both look forward to this day of renewing our energy and our refreshment, and then we trust God that he's just going to help us get our work done the rest of the week, the other 6 days, even though we took the Sabbath off.
And you know what? Some of the things that we put onto our schedule, we might need to eliminate, and God knows it.
Amen.
It was just too much. Humanly, we couldn't do it, and God knows it. So he will give you the priorities if you ask him. Author Kate Motong gives this insight. She said, during a recent sermon that my husband preached, he told the congregation that we should designate Sunday afternoons as leisure reading time. Even if we don't manage to read for pleasure during the rest of the week, we could chip away at pages of a book each Sunday afternoon. She says, I can't tell you how much freedom those words gave to me. Hearing this suggestion was like a gulp of much needed fresh air. It sounds silly, but it was almost as if I needed permission to read something just for my own enjoyment. Oh my gosh, can I ever relate to this? Now, I can hardly wait until Sunday lunch is cleared from the table. I can then sneak away to a quiet corner, or let's be honest, a semi-noisy living room with boys playing, and we can relate to that, with a pile of books just for me. Instead of cooking a full lunch and dinner on Sundays, I give myself a break in the kitchen. I have the kids make sandwiches or toast and tea or warm up some leftovers. The goal is to minimize work and stress and maximize reveling in the enjoyment of God and his good gifts. And again, we can relate to that because there is so much busyness with a family and there's so much busyness with marriage missions. It is a 7 day a week type of ministry. It just is. But on the other hand, we need to minimize whatever we can with the ministry. One of the things that we used to do with our sons is have them have quiet time. Now, we had them have quiet time every day when they were younger. As they got older, we told them, even if you don't take a Sunday rest, you still have to have quiet time. So we would divide them in different rooms. They could have something that they could play with quietly that we couldn't hear. Now, if we heard it, then they had to start the whole hour again. That gave us some time to rest.
And we had a timer. We had a kitchen buzzer.
Yes, we did.
That was going to be for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And I have to confess something here.
That's right. I forgot about that part.
I have to confess something here. There were a lot of Sundays, and even if they were quiet, I would go out and I would move the timer up again another 15, 20 minutes.
So we won't let our son hear this at all.
No, they're not going to learn about this.
But he did. Yeah. He did do that sometimes. But It was good for them because they learned how to play by themselves. They learned how to be quiet. Now, you know, they understand how important it is to have rest times.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, they didn't want to. It's like, I'm not tired. I don't want to rest. I know. And I don't want to, at times, I don't want to rest either when I should. But we're going to do this, and this is the way it is. So I'll never forget the first time this happened. So we would put the buzzer on for an hour, and we would say, you have to be quiet in your different spaces, different rooms for us it was. And so they would do that. And we said, if we hear you, if you say, Mom, I need this, or Dad, or something, then we start the buzzer all over again for another hour. The first time we did it was like 3 hours long because we had to start it again a couple of times. That didn't happen again.
they got the message real fast.
Yeah. We let them know, you know, we can go out to 7 hours. Dad and I will enjoy this really well. But the point is, we need a Sabbath. It's a good goal that God gave to us. We want you to realize, though, that you might not approach your Sabbaths the same way as other people do. Your Sabbath approach may look very different from each other. Your idea of rest may look very different from anyone else's. And it may be that you can't take a Sabbath on the Sunday, like Steve had said and this author had said. And that's okay. Just make sure that you find another day. Just make sure that you do take a Sabbath. And here's another important point that Pastor Robert Morris, and if there's a pastor that can say this with all of his busyness, and he has this huge church, then we can do it. And he makes us on this point that we may need to prayerfully consider. He said, I strongly recommend that you make your Sabbath an off-grid day. Pretend you're an Amish person on that day. Use as little technology as you can. Rediscover silence. No doubt at first it's going to bother you. We become so accustomed to being constantly bombarded by the sound in the form of media that we're actually uncomfortable when there's no background noise. Quiet seems wrong somehow. It makes us mentally itchy. Mm. Yet quiet is exactly what you need, especially if you want to hear the voice of God. Your Heavenly Father wants to speak to you, but he's not interested in trying to shout above all the other noise to be heard over the racket with which we incessantly surround ourselves. Now, Robert Morris wrote this book called Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. And I highly recommend that you read it. It really is a good book. It's given us a lot of ideas.
Isn't there a link to it on our website,
too? There is a link to it on our website. And I know we're meddling here. It may not be possible for you to stay off the internet. With our website, we can't. We've got to at least look to make sure that we didn't go offline or something like that. And when somebody comes in and puts a comment on there, but we make it such a minimum amount of time where before we didn't. I make sure that if my mind starts going on, okay, what's the next insight going to be? I take it off. I just take it off because this is my Sabbath. This is the time when we're supposed to rest. So make sure you prayerfully talk about it to see if you and your spouse can agree on some things, that it's a good idea to stay away from media. If that works for you, great. It could be for some couples, but it won't be for others. All we're asking here is that you prayerfully consider it.
You know, God made a promise to us, special blessings on the Gentiles who keep the Sabbath. If you were to look up Isaiah 56 verses 6 and 7, because a lot of people think, well, the Sabbath is for the Jews. It's not for Christians. No, it is for us. In fact, Sabbath is mentioned 59 times in the New Testament. So we want to encourage you to prayerfully consider all that we have said here, because we hope and pray that you will, because God wants the best for us. And when we do, as He commands, we're going to be richer for it. And we want to close with scriptures that God tells us about the Sabbath. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and a holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 58:13-14. We pray that God is going to bless your marriage abundantly as you honor him together in the Sabbath. That is going to conclude this Marriage Insight, but we want to remind you that if you would like to hear other podcasts of Marriage Insights, or if you're just looking for more help for your marriage, just go to our website. Very simply, it is marriagemissions.com. Now, Cindy and I also wrote the book some time ago called 7 Essentials to Grow Your Marriage. It's available both in electronic and print form. This would be a good resource to help you build your own personal marital team, or maybe even to give it as a gift to a couple who's getting married to help them get off on the right foot. And again, for more information on all of this, just go to our website at marriagemissions.com. So until the next Marriage Insight podcast, we are Steve and Cindy Wright, hoping you'll make it your mission to reveal and reflect the heart of Christ within your marriage and take a day of rest.
Yes, yes, yes.